This is your brain.
100 million groups of cells, each with up to 10,000 connections. It's larger than the number of stars in the universe. And so we are very far from getting an intimate picture of what goes on in the brain.
The world's most celebrated neuroscientist, Oliver Sacks, recently turned 80. To mark the occasion, New York University held a three-day festival of talks and performances inspired by his work. One of the events was a production of a Harold Pinter play that is based on Dr. Sacks. Pinter was a writer who understood the power of silence on stage, but this production is unique. It's performed with no spoken dialogue at all by a cast of deaf actors using American Sign Language. We sent Julia Weatherall to find out what that was like for a hearing audience.
You probably know the story of Oliver Sacks' book Awakenings. In the 1960s, when he was a young doctor, Sacks woke up a hospital ward full of people with a rare type of paralyzing encephalitis. Their bodies had been frozen for decades, but Sacks believed that their minds were still alive. After figuring out which drug to use, turned out he was right. Robin Williams plays a saintly Oliver Sacks in a Hollywood version of Awakenings. There's also a very un-Hollywood version of this story, a play by Harold Pinter called A Kind of Alaska. It focuses on one patient, Deborah. She fell ill as a teenager and wakes up 30 years later as a disoriented middle-aged woman.
Something is happening.
Deborah's brain has been far away in a frozen landscape, the Alaska of the title. A Kind of Alaska is a short play, and when it was revived last month in New York, it was performed twice, back to back. First, there was a traditional Pinter-esque interpretation, with long silences between outbursts of speech. The second performance had nothing but silences. But inside that silence, there is a lot going on. Two women are sitting at a table, Deborah and her sister, speaking for the first time in decades. Deaf performance comes from the body, like dance, but with grammar and syntax coming from the hands. That's a huge amount of meaning in subtle movements, like when Deborah turns away from her sister, completely tuning her out.
You know, I think sometimes society just thinks of me as a regular performer. They don't really think about me as an artist because, you know, they're always hearing a voice.
That's deaf actor Terraline, who spoke to me through an interpreter. Deaf actors almost always work with some kind of interpretation, which is kind of like being overdubbed in a movie. But A Kind of Alaska was a rare chance for these actors to perform in their native language. The play was performed for a mixed audience of hearing and deaf people, and there was no interpretation for the benefit of the hearing.
One can indicate physical presence and space and dimensions much more vividly in sign language.
That's Oliver Sacks.
And in A Kind of Alaska, the feeling of space being given to Deborah when she wakes and space shrinking on her and contracting, I could imagine could be more powerfully conveyed in sign than in words.
The reason for this production is that Sacks is a major figure in the deaf community. He supported students at Gallaudet University at the famous protest where they demanded for their school to hire a deaf president. He wrote about the protest and then wrote a book called Seeing Voices.
I was walking by the side making notes and someone yanked my arm and signed, "You're with us." And so I marched with them.
Oliver Sacks calls himself a clinical ontologist, which is to say somebody for whom the question, how are you, is the clinical question. What is it like to be you? What is being like for somebody like you?
The writer Lawrence Weschler is an old friend of Oliver Sacks. It was his idea that the performance should let sign language stand on its own.
Haven't you had that experience when you go to a bus stop and or you're watching two people sign? I find it mesmerizing. First of all, very beautiful, but it's mesmerizing. And then I feel very embarrassed that I'm staring. But on the evening of this production, that's what you get to do.
I'm suspect, actually, of co-opting ASL and deaf culture in the hearing world. So it was something that I had to really question them about, why they wanted to do this.
Kim Wield is the director of A Kind of Alaska. She's hearing, but uses ASL. This is her third play with deaf actors.
So I got this idea, which was when I looked at the dates that Deborah's asleep, those 30 years are crucial 30 years in the development of sign language.
For the three actors in this production, having that history come across on stage is really significant. They're not translating a script into ASL. They are performing as though the characters are deaf, which is different.
I was watching Oliver Sacks work with his patients and reading about this affliction and how it was a global occurrence.
Alexandria Wales plays Deborah's little sister. Again, the actors are speaking with us through interpreters.
I wondered, did this affect deaf people? I felt like I can produce this play as if I was a deaf person involved in that situation.
A challenge for us as a cast, I think, is that people assume that deaf actors are taking the English script and then simply moving it into sign language, that there is some sort of equivalent.
Lewis Merkin plays the Oliver Sacks role. The character is really different in the spoken and the signed versions of the play. In the spoken version, the doctor calls Deborah from across the room. There's a physical and emotional distance between them.
Do you know me? Can you hear me?
In the ASL performance, he's right at Deborah's bedside, much more intimate.
Well, as a deaf person, you know, she's not hearing anything. A deaf doctor would not be speaking to her. A deaf person would be touched. They would be maybe signing in her hand in a manual way. That is the actual life of a deaf person. And we're trying to honor that and incorporate it into the play.
And Terry Lean, who plays Deborah, was enthusiastic about performing for people who can't actually understand a word that she's saying.
Sometimes I see that people seem to be afraid of me because I don't speak. I don't use my voice to communicate. I use my hands to communicate. So my hope is that through this production, the world that doesn't have exposure to deaf culture will see the play and will let go of their fear. I want to give them permission to experience sign language.
We know that hearing people are sound activated. They are drawn toward the sound of persons' voices, which in a way disconnects them from the actual performance. This is going to give them the opportunity to not be distracted by sound.
That's bold. Merkin thinks that voices distract us from good acting. It's hard to wrap your head around, but it makes sense as a tribute to Oliver Sacks, because his work is all about seeing the world through someone else's radically different perspective.
Seeing sign is an extraordinary experience. You may first think that it's gesture, and then you rapidly see that it's not gesture, that it's much more intricate. Maybe you think this is how language started. Perhaps before there was speech, there was sign.
For Studio 360, I'm Julia Wetherill.